begin by sharing with you a little bit of yesterday's editorial from the Globe and Mail. You might have read it, but you're about to hear part of it again if you did. The motto of the Olympic Games is Citius Altius Fortius, faster, higher, stronger. And we can expect athletes to push themselves a millimeter higher and a fraction of a second faster every 4 years. The Olympics are about the accomplishments of the human body, but they are also, sometimes, about what is best in the human spirit. This week, 23-year-old Canadian long track speed skater Gilmore Junio sent a text to his competitor and teammate, Denny Morrison. Are you ready for the 1,000 meters, yay or nay? Mr. Morrison at first thought it was a joke. It was not. Mr. Junio was offering to give up his place, his rightfully earned place in the 1,000-meter race, in favor of someone who had not qualified for the race, namely Mr. Morrison. Mr. Morrison had been Canada's best hope for a medal in this distance, but he tripped and fallen in the trials late last year that selected Canada's team. Maybe the selection process should have been different. Maybe he should have been on the 1,000-meter roster. But it wasn't, and he wasn't. According to the rules, the right to race in the Olympics belonged to the guy who qualified, fair and square, and whose name was on the program. That would be Gilmore Junior. But sometimes, simply following the letter of the rules isn't enough. Sometimes you have to go beyond that and ask of yourself things that no one else has the right to demand. Mr. Morrison, the Canadian most likely to medal, couldn't get into the ring unless someone else stepped out. So Mr. Junio volunteered to be that someone. And Mr. Morrison promptly went on to skate the race of his Olympic career, missing first place by 4/100ths of a second and winning silver. But sometimes, simply following the letter of the rules isn't enough. Sometimes you have to go beyond that and ask of yourself things that no one else has the right to demand. This is true in sports and even more true in our life, every day of our life. This is a season of epiphany in the church. We sometimes kind of forget about it after Christmas. We just keep going. But Epiphany is about the celebration of God's presence here with us. And it's about our response to God's presence. It's about much more than just going through the motions of being the church. Jesus calls us to a whole new kind of life. And you might have noticed the last few weeks, the readings have been warning us about trying to reduce the work of God to rules, or trying to avoid giving our whole heart and all our lives to God and our neighbor. Now, today's reading, the gospel, is pretty darn harsh. You just had to listen to it. I actually had to read it and preach on it. I thought I'd preach on the Old Testament, but someone said, I can't wait to see what you're going to say this Sunday. So I knew I was stuck. We've got to understand that, of course, this is a different time in a different context. If this were Jesus' day, I certainly wouldn't be standing here preaching. A female, ordained, and divorced. No way. But fortunately, we're not then, we're now. But that doesn't mean that there's not something to learn from what Jesus was saying. You see, we often say that he came to abolish the laws of Judaism and set a whole new thing. Well, that's not quite right. He came to take the laws for what they were and what they had been established as, and to make them even more important, to up the ante. Jesus came to say that rules are no longer just about the simple external actions that we do to follow them, but that it's also more about, and more importantly about, the internal attitudes and emotions that we hold with respect to others. Like our speed skater, who didn't just pay lip service to the Olympic values, and to our utter amazement, put faster, higher, and stronger into a practice that in a way shows us his heart and his dedication to much more than just winning a medal. When you read today's gospel, when I first read it and went, oh no, I just was on holiday and this is what I get for going away, I realized I might as well be blind, deaf, dumb, and have several body parts cut off. Because there's no way I have broken all of those rules. Of course, in some way or another, there is no hope. But that's not really what the reading's about. It's actually not really about judgment. It's about Jesus asking us to go deeper and to ask more of ourselves. And this reading can easily show us up and show us the easy truces that we often make. For example, we're probably all sitting here thinking, well, I haven't committed murder, so I'm doing all right on that one. And we can pat ourselves on the back for that. However, have you ever in your life ruined or contributed to someone feeling desperate or bad because you talked about them and their reputation was tarnished in some way, in some group, somewhere, sometime? We even call that stabbing someone in the back. It may not be murder, but our attitude towards others is shown up in how we treat them, even when they aren't facing us. We're also told that we must reconcile with anyone who has something against us before we can give our gifts to God. Every Sunday, or most Sundays, we proclaim the confession, and then we share the peace. And it's not so much about saying, hello, how are you this week, at the peace. It's about making peace. Yes, we only have a moment in time, but is everyone you share peace with on Sunday morning someone who maybe does hold something against you or doesn't? And have you forgiven them, let alone yourself? Jesus is asking us to think about the greater thing than just the action. This is not an easy private relationship with God, this being a member of the church. It's about all of us. And so when we come to offer our gifts at the altar of bread and wine and money and ourselves, we are meant to be offering it honestly and in peace and in forgiveness. We may feel pretty good about not committing adultery, by the way Jesus describes it. However, I suspect that each one of you, like me, has created another relationship somewhere with work, with sports, perhaps the internet. I spent a whole week without the internet, text, or telephone. I thought I was going to die until I got used to it. And I realized coming back that I had put that sometimes over my relationship, another important relationship, when I'm perhaps in the moment with someone talking to them and I check my phone. That, in a way, is adultery. Attention over something that, instead of what one should be paying attention to. So Jesus is asking us to shift our attention from the particular behavior, from the murder, from the being before the judge, from the adultery, onto an orientation of our heart and our spirit and our attitude for us to cultivate that is more healthy. This is what he talks about when he says righteousness. This is what he talks about in those Beatitudes about being blessed. To reorient our internal landscape from following the rules simply for the rules' sake to attitudes that transform us and those we relate to. Attitudes like our speed skater showed us this week. In Epiphany, we claim that we're following a living God, not a far-off figurehead, not something in a stained glass window, but not someone to just follow the rules or to humor, but the Word of God embedded in real life, in you, in me, in our community, and to make our outward actions go with our internal attitudes. And so we're meant to have a life marked by ideals that we actually live and not just pay lip service to. And so as the editorial this morning says, but sometimes simply following the letter of the rules isn't enough. Sometimes you have to go beyond that and ask of yourself things that no one else has the right to demand. Jesus gives us a new way of life that demands much more. And it also promises us much more. Life in full abundance. Choose life. That's what we're offered today. The opportunity to choose life and everything and all that we do, think, say, and believe. And that choice is up to us every moment of every day. And we may not win a medal, but surely we'll proclaim the word of God. Amen.